have some chanting. It's one Veda mantra which prays for the welfare and the protection of the student and the teacher. Usually this is chanted whenever any scripture is studied. This is chanted. Sahana Bhavatu. Some of you must be, mostly all of you must be familiar with it. It prays for that the student be protected, that the teacher be protected, let God nourish us both, let Him give the sufficient energy and strength to pursue our study till the end. And let both of us strive together. That's very important. Teacher goes on strives and the student doesn't do any homework, then the study cannot be a successful study. Similarly, the students, they are so studious, and the teacher comes to the class absolutely unprepared and he goes on telling irrelevant things, then also the study cannot be successful. So the Upanishad, the Vedas tells us, let us both put forth the effort together. Then the last line is very important. It says, let us not hate each other because the teacher is not up to the mark. The student may think what kind of a teacher he is, and he is asking me to do homework. That way a student should not be. Teacher also should not, because all students cannot be equal. So some students are not up to the mark. Then he may put forth this special effort to the student and not to hate you. That's a very significant line. Ma vidvishavahai. So that mantra we will chant first. Then as we are going to discuss some part of Bhagavad Gita, the Acharya, the teacher, Sri Krishna, we will chant one mantra of him which speaks about his glory. He is the son of so and so, and he is the vanquisher of some demons, etc. Then one more mantra to the compiler of the Bhagavad Gita, Vyasa, which compares, or rather which identifies Vyasa to God himself. Vyasaya Vishnu Rupaya. So God himself. So these three mantras we will chant. I will chant and you will repeat after me. And then we will chant for 5 minutes. Om, all of us together. And then we will meditate for 5 minutes. Then we will enter into the subject. Shall we start? And we can try to be a little, straight, and after some time it will bend, but no, it doesn't matter, because again and again we can do it. So we will start with chanting, then Om chanting. You can all join, you need not wait for me. We will chant, then we will meditate, and then we will go for some discussion. Om Sahana Bhavatu. Saha Viryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavadhitamastu Ma Vidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Vasudeva Sutam Devam. Kamsa Chanura Mardanam.
Kamsa Chanura Mardanam.
Devaki Paramanandam.
Devaki Paramanandam.
Krishnam Vande Jagat Gurum.
Krishnam Vande Jagat Gurum.
வ்யாசாய
வ்யாசாய
விஷ்ணுரூபாய
விஷ்ணுரூபாய
வ்யாசரூபாய
வ்யாசரூபாய
விஷ்ணவே
விஷ்ணவே
நமோ வை
ப்ரஹ்மநிதயே
வாசிஷ்டாய
வாசிஷ்டாய
நமோ நமஹ வித் லாங் பிரத் லெட் அஸ் சாண்டுவோம் Karma Yoga according to Bhagavad Gita is the subject. So when I was told this subject, I was wondering, because already we are all accomplished Karma Yogins, because we do here one session, at least in India I have not had. Here Karma Yoga sessions are there, so we are all doing Karma Yoga. Well, practically we are doing, that is what Sri Ramakrishna always wanted, an ounce of practice. So practically we are doing, so then what more we want? But then Upanishads, they have a way of dealing with the things. Chandogya Upanishad says there are two ways the work can be done. One is with knowledge and without knowledge. The same thing can be accomplished in two ways. One is you do it with knowledge, and another is you do it without knowledge. Yadeva vidyaya karoti shraddhaya upanishada tadeva viryavattaram bhavati. Upanishad says whatever is done with knowledge, concentration and faith, that will give thousandfold, manifold results. So knowledge is very, very important. There's a small anecdote in Swamiji's life, which I'm very much tempted to say. Swamiji's golf playing, some of you must have read it. Yeah, right? Yeah, so Swamiji, should I repeat it? All must be known. I should repeat it. So Swamiji went for the first time, he saw a golf ground and the small boy was there. He asked him, what is this? The flag he saw. Mm-hmm. And Swamiji asked, what is this? He said, it's a play called golf. What one should do? A small ball is there, a club is given to you, and you have to put it in that hole. Oh, it's a simple thing, I can do it. Then the boy said, Swamiji, it is not that easy. It requires tremendous practice and perseverance. Then alone it is possible. It requires many, many days, probably months, practice. He said, no, nothing. I can, at a stretch, I can. Now I can put it like that. Boy could not believe. Then they bet all some 10 cents or something they have put. By the time the father of the boy came into the picture, and he asked, what's going on here? They said, this is the Swami says that he has not touched so far the club, but he says he will be able to put the ball in the hole. Then the father said, don't, Swami, it's not that easy. You should not bet like that. Swami said, I can do it. So he also added some $10 in the bet. So if you are going to put it, then I'm also going to give $10. So fine. Swami took the club and he mentally, or just he saw the hole for a while and took the club once or twice, he swayed it here and there, and he pulled his sleeves up and made himself ready, took it and the club, and he hit it and the ball straight went and dropped in the hole. They could not believe. And the father said, Swamiji, definitely you must have earlier practiced, otherwise it is not possible, it's impossible almost. Then he said, no, for the first time in my life I am touching the club. Then he said, then you must have used some of your yogic power for that. Then Swamiji said, I don't use my yogic power for the silly things like this. I don't use it. And how did you do it? Then Swamiji said, it's a simple calculation. It's a beautiful thing, one of the fundamentals of the Karma Yoga. Swamiji said, first I measured the distance between the hole and me. External knowledge, that is what exactly I am going to do, I try to have this elaboration is mine. Swamiji said only I measured the length between me and the hole. I mentally calculated how much. Then second, I know the strength of my hand. So how much strength I should administer in order to achieve this goal, I calculated. Then I remembered the incentive $10.10. I hit and the ball went there. So simply telling, this is all about karma yoga. You need to have the knowledge of the ground, field in which you are working, and the knowledge about yourself, and there should be a definite immediate incentive. Not some utopian or some far-reaching, some kind of goal which probably we don't realize or understand, just because it's told in some books, we just note it down and take it, oh, this is the goal. That the mind will not accept that goal. There must be clear 10 cents or $10. That kind of an immediate goal should be there. And we achieve this. So the Upanishad points out, do it with knowledge. You need to have the knowledge of the field. You need to have the knowledge of yourself. And also there should be a definite goal about it. This is what Gita says. Gita, as you know, it is a secondary scripture. In Hinduism, two layers of scriptures are there. Primary scriptures, Vedas and Upanishads, they are called primary scriptures. Unquestionable. They always, the same truth. Sun rises in the east, it doesn't change. For some time it will be rising in the east and sometimes in the west, no. So eternal truths Vedas tell. But then that eternal truth always, sometimes it will be difficult, especially in the context of Vedas being so ancient, sometimes it gives some difficult. And moreover, the words of realization, the people, who the realized souls, when they talk, that will not be well arranged. Whatever comes, they just speak. You can see Vedas, or you can see Swamiji's words. Here something will be there something will be. The secondary teachers will have to come and arrange them. The primary teachers, they will not have the sufficient time to sit quietly and take all the ideas together and arrange it. That should be done by the secondary teachers. So similarly, Vedas will say certain things. Karma Yoga, as you have been discussing here, Ishavasya Upanishad gives one idea. What is that idea? It gives God is everywhere. Imbibe that idea in yourself and do the work. And this way only you can live for 100 years. This is what the Upanishad says. The Upanishad says, God is there and you should, if you have that idea, bismear the idea, imbibe that idea in your mind, accordingly you work. If you work like this, the karma, the work will not bind you. Now this is all the Upanishad says. Understanding this is very difficult. What do we mean by that? This way, if you work, God is there, then enjoy the world in that manner and work accordingly. That's all the Upanishad says. Only two mantras are there. If we explain with all explanatory notes, everything, then also we will not be able to understand. And we make mistakes. And we go on with our own philosophies. But if we stop with one sentence or one mantra, what will happen? So, Sri Krishna came, the teacher, and he tried to explain it in 700 verses. Only two mantras were there, and 700 verses. And if it is such a simple thing as we think, why should he spend 700 verses about it? Because sometimes we think karma yoga is a very deceptive one. We tend to think in the beginning itself we know things. Because other yogas, you have a kind of test. What is the test of jnana yoga? Swamiji says, if somebody cuts you with a knife, you should be able to say, oh, I am not cut. I am all right. If that doesn't happen, we can be sure that we have not attained anything in Jnana Yoga. We are slowly proceeding. Raja Yoga also has something, because Swamiji says, if you practice Raja Yoga for 1 month, your face will change. It will shed luster. Your voice will be so sweet and melodious, we can understand. Then the third one, Bhakti Yoga. Sri Ramakrishna says, when you utter the name of God, tears should flow. We may require some onion and things like that. So, there is some kind of test is there. Karma Yoga, what is the test? At the outset, we are all Karma Yogins. No. That is why Sri Krishna took the trouble of telling Arjuna the 700 verses. Because it is not that easy. I don't mean to say, I'm not discouraging that we are not doing Karma Yoga. No, it's not like that. We are taking a step. But this is not everything. What we are doing, especially here I am seeing what we are all doing, is definitely a Punya Karma. A meritorious deed. Definitely this we require to compensate our Papa Karma. Our other kind of evil deeds are there. Evil side is there for our life. That will be compensated with this. But can this give spiritual upliftment? That is where the question comes. It is, any tree is tested by its fruit. We can test anybody. I am doing Karma Yoga for 10 years. Initially, what is the aim of Karma Yoga? Any yoga, the aim is to go to God. Have I reached Him? 10 years. Started with half an hour struggle of meditation, the so-called meditation. We sit and struggle and tug up our mind, moves out and we pull it back and struggle. And after 10 years also the same thing continues. Have I progressed? So we may ask some question which Holy Mother insists daily before sitting for your meditation. Do little self-analysis. Think about it. Yesterday's situation, what was your mind yesterday like and what is today? So Karma Yoga also needs some practices, some disciplines, some basic understanding. That everything Gita puts it. But Gita also, it is scattered here and there. We have to make it together. And if we read, probably we will definitely get a very beautiful picture to uplift all of us through our own work. What is the beauty of Karma Yoga? Karma Yoga's beauty is, you need not go for searching with some work. This work I will do, this work I will not do, this place I should go, I should meditate in this way. No, whatever has come to you, take it up and through that you can go. That is the idea. So that is why Sri Krishna goes on elaborating and expanding and expanding. Whatever he has to tell, you know, in Indian scriptures, there is a method of telling. In the first one or two lines or sections, whatever has to be told, they will tell. Yoga Sutras, some of you have been studying. Yoga Chitta Vritti Nirodha. There ends the matter actually. Whatever has to be told about yoga is that much only. Further, the whole four sections are elaborations and explanations. Similarly, Gita also, whatever has to be told in the second chapter, the whole thing is told. But then later it expands and elaborates. So the Karma Yoga, what Sri Krishna wants to say, is a kind of very, very large and very vast and comprehensive method. Vedas give us two methods. And Sri Krishna himself tells that there are two methods are there. Jnana Yogena Sankhyanam, Karma Yogena Yoginam. From the beginning, there are two
highways are there for reaching God. One is Jnana Yoga and another is Karma Yoga. Some of us, especially after coming here, I find many are telling that I am practicing Jnana Yoga. I really don't understand, because Shankara gives 5 qualifications for this Jnana Yoga. Shall I read it? It will be very interesting. Where we are, we will be able to understand. He says, in the commenting on this verse, Shankara says, Sri Krishna says, there are 2 methods, 2 highways. One is for Sankhyas, that is Jnana Yoga, and another is for Yogins, that is Karma Yoga. Then Shankara explains, what is Sankhya? Who are Sankhyas? Or who are the students or competent people for Sankhya? Number one, he says, Atma Anatma Vishaya Viveka Vijnanavan. A person, he should have a special knowledge about the discrimination between Atma and Anatma. That is, in truth, all Hindu scriptures hold, man is not the body. He is a spirit behind that body. So he should have, the Jnana Yoga aspirant, he should have a definite and special knowledge about this Atman and what is not Atman. This is the first qualification. Second qualification, Brahmacharya Ashramat Eva Krita Sanyasaha. Shankara is very definite about it. Only sannyasins. Sannyasins also, people who need not go through the householder's life, they alone have the right to Jnana Yoga. Third one, Vedanta Vijnana Sunischitartha. What is the purport of Vedanta? He should have a very clear knowledge. Then, Paramahamsa Parivrajaka. Sannyasin also, he should be of a very, very top quality. Sannyasin. Then, the last one, Brahmani Eva Avastitaha. His mind should always dwell in God. Do we have all these 5 qualifications? Then we are ready for Jnana Yoga. Then otherwise, with folded hands, let us say we are all only for Karma Yoga. Then, what about then Gita? There are several things about Atmani talk. That is the greatness and beauty of Gita. It says, Karma Yoga is not that easy. You need to have knowledge, the Jnana Yoga with it. You need to have Bhakti Yoga with it. You need to have Raja Yoga. Though the name Raja Yoga is not given there, it calls us Dhyana. Even Dhyana word is not there. The meditation, what we can call later Swamiji. Of course, the word Raja Yoga is very much used in early also, but the Swamiji, what he points out as Raja Yoga, is a different one. Earlier also, Raja Yoga was there. There were several yogas, mantra yoga, laya yoga, kriya yoga, hatha yoga, etc. Swamiji whole thing, it's a wonderful work. Swamiji himself in Karma Yoga lecture says, I have made this into 4. This what we call the concept of 4 yogas, it is given by Swamiji himself. So that Raja Yoga. So Bhagavad Gita says, yes, it is Karma Yoga, but then you need a Jnana Yoga self, a Bhakti Yoga self, a Raja Yoga self. That is the all comprehensive Karma Yoga that Bhagavad Gita teaches. Let us go to the key sentence. What is the key sentence or the key words here? It is in the 18th chapter. It is the 46th sloka. Swakarmana tam abhyarchya siddhim vindati manava. It is the first time given to the mankind. Whenever Vedas speak of karma, it is mostly the rituals, lot of rituals. The Vedic way had a way of communing with the divine, that is yajna, what they call as yajna. They pour oblations into the fire and then gods are invocated and they commune with the god and whatever they wanted they got from that. But for the first time Krishna came out, this need not be, because times are changing. We cannot have that much time probably. So, Swakarmana Tam Abhyarchya. All the three words are very, very important. First is Swakarmana. What Krishna says? By worshipping God with your own work. Swakarmana means your own work. Tam. Tam means God. Archana. Archana is worship. Archana is a special type of worship. It is flowers are taken with particular mantras. They are offered at the feet of the deity. That is what is known as archana. So your work should be offered as a flower at the feet of God. So three things must be clear to you. One is, who are you? Second is, what is your work? Swakarma. And what is your relation with the God? And what is the worship? So this is the key words in the Gita which says the Karma Yoga, or which advises us to take up Karma Yoga. So it is always, it should be borne in mind that whenever we say Karma Yoga is the easiest path, Sri Ramakrishna never says that. Sri Ramakrishna says Karma Yoga is very difficult. He says Bhakti Yoga is easy. So Karma Yoga is not, we should remember, when we say Karma Yoga, it is a path to God. That is what it is, a difficult thing. Otherwise, doing some good work, philanthropic work, some service in some institution, it's wonderful. It gives us merit and it is required. It's a one step for, it's a step, definitely a step towards Karma Yoga, but it is not Karma Yoga. Daily, I do physical exercise for half an hour or 1 hour. I am not able to meditate, but is there any connection between these two? Physical exercise is physical exercise for the body, exercise for the body. It has nothing to do with the mind. By doing physical exercise, by running or jogging or doing some other work, some other exercise, you cannot claim you will get concentration of mind. Both belong to different, entirely different field. Similarly, here also, because I am doing some good service, I will get spiritual benefit. There, Krishna puts a big question mark. Definitely you are getting merit. That is required. Again, I reiterate. It's required. That should not be shunned. We don't say that's not right way. But that is not Karma Yoga. Karma Yoga, additional things are necessary. Swakarmana Tam Abhyarchya. Then how to do it? Naturally the question will come. So, a beautiful expression Sri Krishna uses. He says in the second chapter, 48th sloka, Yogastha Kuru Karmani. You establish yourself in yoga and then do work. Because how to work in that way? That is, I must know myself. I must know what is my work. I should know what is God or what is my relation with me, with him or her. And what is this worship? All these things I should know, but I don't know anything. How to start? Sri Krishna says, Yogastha Kuru Karmani. You establish yourself in yoga. It's a good explanation, but it doesn't really make us enlightened in any way. Then next step he goes in the 49th sloka says, are you not able to understand establishing in yoga? He says, Buddhau Sharanam Anvicha. It's a beautiful and a key word to understand Bhagavad Gita. Each scripture has a key for it. You open it with that key, then alone it will open for you. What do we mean by that? In India, any scripture, now it is available after the Ramakrishna mission, the Vedanta, so that it is coming up. All books are available in English. Upanishads, everything is available in English. Or rather, anybody with a little Sanskrit knowledge can read and understand Gita. But that is not what is meant by understanding or studying Gita by the rishis. That is, the Vedas or the whatever scripture you study, that will reveal yourself. What does it mean? It will be a part of you. You know, ancient, in some stories are told in India about the medicinal plants, what we call herbs. In the beginning of the Charaka Samhita, I think it starts with the story. Not the in the beginning, little in between it comes. The story is that Hinduism classifies time into four different periods. Krita Yuga, Treta Yuga, etc., etc. We are in the fourth cycle of time. Fourth is said to be very evil in nature. Before that, all the herbs used to talk. So when you go approach a herb, it will say, "Hello, come here, I can cure headache." Then you can pluck it, pluck the leaves or whatever way, it will tell, you can do it. But the Kali Yuga, the fourth cycle, is fast approaching. Then one of the rishis came and told, "Don't do it. In Kali Yuga, man is going to be terribly evil-minded and business-minded and money-minded. He'll simply kill you all. So shut your mouth. Hereafter, don't open your mouth." Then the herbs shut their mouth. So the point is, actually, there is a communication is possible. Even now, what is known as the sculpture, Indian sculpture, they speak to the stones before selecting it for a temple. They say there are three types of stone. Several are there, three are main. Male stone, female stone, and the male-female stone. Male stones are used for female deities. Female stones are used for male deities. The male-female stones are not used for any temple deities. They are used for other purposes, like the footstep, etc. So they will touch. I have seen it. The sculpture, they are doing it. Like that, they will go on and knocking it and hear it very minutely. Then they will go on discarding. If a stone is selected for a statue. So it's a science. It can commune. So scriptures also can commune with us. It's there again. Zen master, I forgot his name. He lived in the 6th or 7th century. He used to, Zen, there is a beautiful way of putting Zen. Before enlightenment, he was drawing water. After enlightenment, he is drawing water. That is, their external life will not change. That's one of the very important ideas in Zen. That he continues, only he is enlightened. So a Zen master was there, he was making bamboo chairs. That was his work he was doing. What is the difference? The difference is, whenever he makes a chair, everybody will be pulled to it. They will be so attracted to it, at least once they want to go on and sit on that. That is the nature of the chair. So, but the only difficulty with him is, he cannot assure you when he will supply the goods. You can place the order, that's all. But then when it will come, so finally the king himself placed the order. And he waited 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, it goes on, chair is not coming. Then finally king got wild. He went and, "What is the matter, what happens?" Then he said, "See, you understand and accept that what I make is different." "Yes." "Then the method is also different. You should understand that." "Then what is your method?" He said, "I go to the forest and ask the tree, the bamboo, are you willing to become a chair? When it says yes, that tree only I cut." So these are all truths. They can commune. So scriptures also will commune if we study in the appropriate method. And similarly, there are some key words are there for to understand Bhagavad Gita, this Buddhau Sharanamam Anvicha. You take refuge. Sri Krishna says, do you not understand me? Don't you understand me? No, I don't understand you. What is meant by establishing in yoga and doing work, I don't understand. Then, Buddhau Sharanam Anvicha. Then, take refuge in Buddhi. This also, I don't understand really. What does it mean by this taking refuge in Buddhi? One clue I give you. Sri Krishna says in the same shloka, 49th shloka, what does he say? By this Buddhi, if you understand, karma becomes varam karma. Now what you are doing is avaram karma, ordinary work, which is not enlightened work, which is not karma yoga. If you understand this Buddhi, then it becomes avaram, varam karma, holy work. That's what the word Sri Krishna uses in the 49th shloka, 49th words. Karma becomes varam karma, holy work. That's what we want. Karma should be what is karma yoga. Shankara explains very beautifully. Karma yoga is that process by which even when you do even a binding work, they become a means for God realization or going to God or reaching God. That's all karma yoga means. You do the same work, taking the clue from Mahabharata stories, which most of you must be knowing, that a butcher was there. He continued to be a butcher. He never gave up his work and went for another work. He continued, but he became an enlightened person through that work. A housewife was there. She didn't do any extra tapas, any extra austerity or anything. She continued to serve her husband and also her in-laws, parents and all. Through that itself, she could attain great wisdom. So that is what the Gita wants to say. Swakarmana tam abhyarjya. So you will do the same work, but the work will turn. Earlier it was a binding work, butcher. Meat, cutting a meat and selling it, is it a holy work? No, but for him it has become a holy work. Why? The work, the external world will not change for us. External world has its own specific rules. For no one the external world is going to change. What is going to change is our inner world. So Sri Krishna says, here is the point. Buddhi, catch hold of it. You will see the same work which is going to bind you, which you are so much afraid, which is killing people, war. Now that war is going to be a spiritual sadhana, that Ramanuja in his commentary very beautifully says. Why should at all Sri Krishna goes on and on about this Gita? If Sri Krishna's purpose is just to inspire Arjuna into the war, Arjuna, you have somehow got weakened. Don't do it. Come on, fight. A little encouragement is enough. 700 verses are not required. What Sri Krishna told there was, Arjuna's doubt also, all I've been doing. Is there any really any purpose, ultimate purpose? That was Arjuna's doubt. And Sri Krishna said, yes. Even Ramanuja very beautifully in the second chapter commentary, he writes that, even this war you can do as karma yoga. That is the assurance that karma yoga gives, or at least the Gita gives us. When you can do war, where war cries, trumpets and bugles sound and bloodshed and war cries are going on, if that can be converted to a spiritual sadhana, can we not convert our ordinary life, which is much more simpler and much more easier? It's not like a war. So that is the assurance Sri Krishna gives. So the Buddhi, what is that Buddhi? Some few places in the 10th chapter,
in the second chapter, and also maybe in one or two places, Sri Krishna mentions about it. What is this buddhi? Buddhi, we have to understand, buddhi is a Nikhilanandaji in his commentary on this place very beautifully writes, it's a kind of divine light, he says, which is very much important for understanding spiritual truths. Earlier also we have discussed that our intellect works or operates in three levels. The first one is instinct, instinctual level. It simply works, that's all. You can see children, all will be studying in the fourth standard or fifth standard. They will be going together. And suddenly one dog barks and comes towards them. You can see the attitude of each student, each boy will different. Will differ. One will run for life. Another will stand and instigate the dog more. Another will take a stone and throw it. All are reading or studying in the fourth standard only. What makes the difference? It is the instinct. So that is the first operational level of the mind. It simply acts. It can be right or wrong. Throwing a stone at a dog, or a dog is right or wrong, we are not going to decide. But this is the way he acts. We are going through a forest or in a lonely path. We are alone. Suddenly we find a bundle of dollar notes. Each one of us will act differently. Some of us may take it and silently put it into our pockets. Someone will search for it. Oh, somebody must have lost it, and they will find the person and give it. Somebody will go to the sheriff's there, and he will hand it over to them. What they say, it is the instinct. What is right, we cannot say. That is the first level of mind. The second level is known as intellect. It is gathered from our external experiences. We read books, we observe people, we talk to people, we see people, we interact with the people. Through that we gain some knowledge. That is intellect. It can fail, it can be all right. It will be right or wrong according to what we have gathered. If we have closely contact with a wrong person, our attitudes, our work will be a wrong work only. So our scriptures say there is a third faculty, there is a third operational level which the mind can operate, which is known as intuition. And that is what Sri Krishna calls as buddhi. Buddhi is not awakened. Katopanishad, you can very beautifully see, Katopanishad also you have studied. It says, buddhi is the sarathi. He is the charioteer. How a car is going to be driven, whether the car is going to be safe or will it reach the destination, depends upon the driver, not the owner of the car, not the travelers, other travelers. It is the driver decides. So a beautiful the chariot example is given, and the Katopanishad explains it, where the driver, the charioteer, is an awakened one, that journey becomes successful. What is that? The buddhi, in whom the buddhi is awakened. So what does that Upanishad wants to say? Buddhi is not awakened in all of us. It has to be awakened. Even psychology, the Jung's psychology in those days, nowadays things are much in a different way, things are studied. In early days, psychology was studied in a different way, and Jung's psychology was a very important step there, and he says, he points out a process there called self-individuation process. He says a real man is yet to grow. That's a very important concept. That can happen only through life's experience alone, it can happen. So, a real man has to grow. Similarly, here it is said, the buddhi has to grow. This is what in our scriptures, in different names it is called, like the third eye, Kundalini Shakti, or the lotus of the heart. So many words it is used. The point is that
Buddhi must be awakened. Then if you do work, that will become Karma Yoga. That is what Gita says. How that Buddhi is going to be awakened, Sri Krishna says. And it is in the 10th chapter he talks about Buddhi Yoga. He says, if some are it is a special gift of God. What is Buddhi? Special gift of God. He says, Machitta, Madgada Prana, Bodhayanta Parasparam, Katayantascha Mamityam, Dushyanticha Ramanticha, Desham, Satata Yuktanam, Bhajadam, Priti Purvakam, Dadami Buddhi Yogam. Yenamam Upayantite. I give this special gift of Buddhi Yoga or Buddhi to those people who always are driven, I mean, always think of me, talk of me, sing about my glories. So God's singing, God's glories, thinking about Him, meditating on Him. And further also He elaborates, the knowledge is required. Here only everything is put together. We need knowledge. We need bhakti, we need meditation, for what? For this special gift of buddhi. And what does that buddhi does? He again further explains, it is like a lamp. Jnana deepena bhaswata. In the 11th shloka he says, it is a jnana deepa. It is a lamp of knowledge. What does it do? It nashayami. It kills everything. Every kind of ignorance is killed. Now, whenever we say that ignorance is killed, etc., we should not go to the ultimate thing. Ignorance is killed, I become Brahmajnani. Oh, no. These are all the first step towards attaining to that buddhi. Once that is taken, once the driver is in the seat, then we can forget. It is his right driver we have to select, of course. A drunken driver, if we select, that won't work. So we should select. So here also, the awakened buddhi, when it takes over, about this buddhi, Chinmayananda, the, you know, Chinmaya mission, he has a commentary of Gita. He very beautifully, Nikhilanandaji and Chinmayanandaji, these two people, very beautifully describes, I mean, explains this, what is this buddhi, it's a light. And Chinmayananda explains, when this awakens, mind and all senses and all its vagaries, everything just goes and bows down before it. So our struggle for sense control, discontrol, non-attachment, everything, actually it is not easy. And another important point also I want to tell, this non-attached work, detached work, it is non-attachment, it is not a process, it is not a way for us to practice. No, it is a result. It is when the buddhi awakens. Gita itself points out this. There are certain shlokas, key shlokas, so important. It says, non-attachment is not for you to practice. It will come. So that is where most of us fail. We have to work in a non-attached way. What is that? Then we quote Karmanyevadigaraste, I have the right to work and not for the result. It's the most probably foolish thing to do. You work in an office and you don't expect the salary. Can ever it happen? No, it is not what is meant. It's entirely different thing. And that shloka, Ramanuja points out, Nitya Sattvastasya Mumukshoho. This shloka should be applied only for a spiritual seeker. Not for one who works in the bank and expects the salary. So things are to be understood. So here it is very clearly told, and there are a few other shlokas also, some key shlokas for this. So though I have everything, but then it is our time is already up. So what I want to tell is, Karma Yoga also, there are steps that we should not forget. There are some steps that we have to one by one, slowly we have to practice. Then till this buddhi awakens,
shall we have to sit and sleep or what? No. Sri Krishna is very, in very beautifully. No, don't do it. Yajnaya charataka. He says, do your work as yajna. What is that yajna? Again, a beautiful concept comes in the Gita. He says, it's a beautiful thing. You just see the world, any silent spectator, in the early morning, say 5 o'clock, you just come out and see. Whole thing is so silent, so calm. A kind of eternal flux, a kind of perpetual flux. Everything is moving towards and towards an unending thing. Everything is given a time. Something comes up, something is born. And a particular time is given, it lives there, it fulfills certain amount of duty and then dies away. That's all. Nobody can eternally live here. It goes. So a kind of cycle, beautifully, evam pravartitam chakram. That is, thus a cycle is going on. All of us are born, we live for somewhere, each one of us definitely has a mission. We fulfill and die. Then Sri Krishna says, be a definite participant. Don't bother about other things. Are you not able to understand about buddhi, everything? Struggle for it. You have to struggle for it. Step by step, slowly go about it. But by that time, don't simply sleep. Oh, till then, I will take a nice nap. No. Be a active participant in that. Do all your duties with utmost care. And he gives some, so Krishna points out certain basic knowledge we should have, a 3-4 points, and certain basic conditions we should fulfill. Once we get all these things into proper form, and then take the help of Swami Vivekananda as an explanation or commentary, then we get a complete picture of Karma Yoga, what it is. So, in nutshell, what we want to say here is that Karma Yoga is also a difficult thing. It is also equally difficult, like Jnana Yoga and Bhakti Yoga and whatever yogas are there. We need to pay some special attention for all these things. Then alone it can be practiced as a yoga. That is all I want to say here. Other things, we have to, in our own way, whatever we are doing, we have to continue with it, and slowly. And now and then we should ask, whenever we claim, I am practicing Jnana Yoga, I am practicing Raja Yoga, just we have to ask one simple question. Has or is my time of spiritual sadhana increased? I started with half an hour, and after 20 years or so, I am struggling with that half an hour. Then can we say that kind of progress? I don't think it can be called as a progress. So that now and then if we ask, maybe we will try to correct ourselves and go in the right way. And then only that, because Swamiji says least path of least resistance. Whatever path we take, there should be least resistance. That's beautifully again Bhagavad Gita puts it. Nigraha kim karishyati. You just go on hitting on it. It is not going to give you anything. So take the least resistant path. In which field you are very comfortable. What type of work you are able to very comfortably, very easily. That's an important condition. What is the first condition of Karma Yoga? He puts, of course, we could not go into all these things. Sve sve karmani apirataha. You should enjoy doing that work. Oh, this Swami has told me, that is why I have to do. Then Karma Yoga can never come. Whatever work you do, you should enjoy it. Like that, a few things. We learn, we understand. Then things become easy. Like Chandogya Upanishad puts it, it becomes thousandfold result. The same thing we will be doing. We will not do anything extra, but we will be able to reap the result in tenfold or 20-fold. That is all. So take a little time to read these things very deeply and understand and think about, really, am I progressing?
because we are all with the good intentions we have come. It is not easy to give up everything and to come here and sit in this place. We are all sincere, but sometimes we are, because the direction is not right, we are not able to reach. That is also Gita points out. Two types of yogis are struggling. Both Gita calls us yogi only. The first type of yogis, they struggle, they attain. Second type of yogis, they struggle, they don't attain. Why? Uncultured mind. It's a beautiful way. But both of them are yogis. Both of them are sincere. Both of them want to go higher and higher in spiritual life. But then unfortunately, he doesn't know that. In the 15th chapter, Yadanto Yoginas Chainam, it starts like that sloka. So each sloka pertaining to Karma Yoga, you have to collect from this Bhagavad Gita, arrange it, then study it. More than that, try to follow it. You will get a new picture of Karma Yoga, which really can help us. Thank you all. Now some 20 minutes are there. If you have anything to ask, you can ask me. What is Karma Yoga? Because I mentioned may not be. Any questions?
Swami?
Yeah.
When you say path of least resistance,
yeah,
that would also include having this buddhi when one chooses a path of least resistance. Is that?
I'm not getting it.
Well, Swami, when one thinks of path of least resistance, one can think of a lot of ways around things mm-hmm. by that. So I was thinking path of least resistance would have to be with buddhi.
Buddhi is understanding and realizing buddhi itself is a resistant method. Are you trying to tell that?
What I'm trying to say is if one is looking for a path of least resistance, one might go in a direction that makes it very, very easy for that person,
yeah,
rather than the struggle side of it.
Yeah. The real struggle is actually different. Spiritual life, when it is said, it is said in the Kathopanishad says, what is spiritual life? Spiritual life is like walking on a razor's edge. But we don't feel that, do we feel? We are quite comfortable. We are taking 4 times food and we are enjoying and going on. We are singing and so it's going on. Then why should the Upanishad say spiritual life is so difficult? Walking, at least I have not felt spiritual life. I am walking on a razor's edge. Wonderful room is given here, and I am enjoying the beautiful morning. He made some beautiful bhoga, Umashankar made, and we all enjoyed. And no time. And in Valima also, I get sufficient food and sufficient everything. Wonderful, enviable circumstance I am living. I never felt that. But then why should at all this Upanishad says that? That is the real struggle we have not taken. We are something we are doing in the name of spiritual life. If we take one step inside, then you will see what real struggle means. That is all inner struggle. Sometimes now also we may feel some kind of struggle, especially when we live in a community life. That are all not considered as spiritual struggle. We must always have a clear idea. In a community life, our living becomes difficult, sometimes some adjustments, etc. We fight, etc., etc. In a family, father and mother and our husband and wife. Oh, we are spiritually very difficult. No, this has nothing to do with the spiritual life, community life or anything. Real struggle is something different. When we really put forth one step, whether it is buddhi yoga or karma yoga, anything, then you will see like Pandora's box. It is getting opened where you are driven to. And the people, the real spiritual masters say that kind of struggle is required. When I read for the first time when I was a student, Confessions of St. Augustine, one of the very classics, and
course, it differs from person to person. Anyway, there he, in the beginning, he says, if you don't have any confusion, create some confusion, he says. Same thing, exactly he says this. In the beginning, at least, because long back I read, maybe within 50 pages, this idea you will get. A spiritual aspirant, if you don't have any struggle, any confusion, create some confusion. So that resistance is entirely different. That when we take a real step, before that, when we try to look into things, we should see which path to take everything. There we should see, we should not go on fighting with the mind. Mind, if we go on fighting with the mind, one day it will big tata, it will make, bye-bye, it will make. Afterwards, you cannot go near it. No, the psychology again, they tell about the dogs, the training of the dogs. This is one of the early lessons there. You have to see the dog, when you train a dog, within the purview of your control. You allow it to go one step further, it will look up to you for 2-3 times. Immediately you should call, hello, come here. Otherwise, all right, one step that side he is standing, let me keep quiet, it will look for a few moments, then it will run away. Similarly, we should not allow the mind to become completely fed up with us. That is what most of time we go on doing. Every day it goes and sits. It says, I don't want Baba this. Then we force it. Sit. No, you have to sit. Then we go on, push it. After some time you will see it has lost, the elasticity is gone. Then it can never be got back. So in the initially, why my mind is rejecting? Ask a question. Why at all? With all sincerity I have taken up spiritual life. My guru with all sincerity told me. Then where it goes wrong? Why my mind is not going towards it? Ask it. Find the answer. Then take up. Then mind will sit quiet. But then the real struggle starts. That's what I am trying to tell. Not initially when it is not ready for it. And Tapasyanandaji Maharaj, every time I have to, Tapasyanandaji Maharaj, some people whenever they, for the celebration, birthday celebrations, they will come and for public celebration, Maharaj will be sitting there. And most of the people will start the subject with Holy Mother is Mahalakshmi, Holy Mother is Durga, Holy Mother is Mother Mary, she is this and she is that. Maharaj doesn't like at all. And one day he could not bear. He got up and said, these people neither have seen Holy Mother nor have seen Mother Mary. They are comparing these two people. Similarly, we also meditate. We are not able to really go into it. What exactly is taught? So with all these things, that place we should make a little clear. Then alone the real path we can choose. That's what I'm telling you.
So in Gita,
yeah,
it also stresses the Obhyas Yoga. So, but what I'm hearing now, you know, if before that we have to have Bhakti Yoga so that we are on the right path. Otherwise,
no,
we are trying to do the Obhyas. And, you know, when
no, Abhyasa Yoga is not a yoga. Abhyasa Yoga means practice. That's
practice,
all.
Yeah.
So Bhakti Yoga also you have to practice. That's what Gita says, don't give up, practice. Abhyasa is not a separate yoga.
No, but are we on the right path or not? You know, we might be trying to, you know.
That you have to ask yourself and find the answer. I am in the right path, I know it.
Swami, then what exactly is struggle? You just said that.
That's the point is, you know. That point, that pinpoint, that you have to find yourself. I have thrown some ideas. What exactly is the struggle? Then the real struggle comes. That Sri Ramakrishna's example is there. Mama, when I have to go for number one, please wake me up. Mother said, no, no. When the call comes, you yourself will get up. So what the real struggle is, you will understand when the real struggle comes. What I am trying to tell is, put some questions into it. Not in a way going that I have taken up spiritual life, oh, I am doing fantastically well, it is going on.
they have put some questions, because the questions you have to put, the answers also you alone have to give. No one else can give for you. Most of the time, the answers you get from others may resolve your doubt, but create 1,000 other doubts. Usually it happens. So we should be, that's what Ranganathanandaji Maharaj used to say, a spiritual seeker should learn to live with questions. Every question we should not think, what is this, what is that. Some questions you throw, what is struggle, what is path, what is Abhyasa Yoga. Put into your mind and wait for the answer. And you, what answer you will get, that answer will be the real answer. Otherwise, whatever questions you are going to ask, they are already asked, and they will be either in Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna, or in Gospel of Holy Mother, or in direct disciples, or in saints. You read all these questions, or especially the Christian saints, Sufi saints. You ask 1,000 questions which we are now interested in asking. All are asked and answered. We need not. The answer should come from within. That is the main point here. Otherwise, nothing will happen. That is what I say, the revealing of a scripture. Gita, when we study, that answer we will have to get. What is struggle? I should get the answer. What is the path? I should get the answer. That is the real study of a scripture, real practice. Every day it should be a kind of wonder. What is this? Yesterday I thought like that, today it is like this. Every day there should be a revelation. Swamiji says, veil after veil, 1, 2, 3, as if it is going on. Every time, because we have set certain things, that is where we are, God realization. We don't really understand what is meant by God realization. Do we mean Sri Ramakrishna will come before us like this? If at all he comes, what is it? Then what we are going to do with it? So what exactly is these things? Our aim is God realization. These are all certain things we have to ask ourselves. What exactly am I searching? This is the purpose of spiritual life. Then we will understand. So, even simple questions. I never ask questions to anybody, any person I have not asked so far. Only one question I asked one of my teachers, one Swami. I asked, when we say God is in the temple, what do we mean by that? Have you ever thought about this question? Is he like Sri Ramakrishna? When he says Sri Ramakrishna, is he sitting like this here? Or is it a power? If it is a power, what do we mean by that? When we say somebody is there, even the small questions, really we don't think. So that is why Sri Krishna says, Nahi jnanena sadrasham pavitram iha vidyate. Hold on to jnana, hold on to knowledge. That is the most purifying agent. It's a wonderful, one of the golden statements in spiritual life. Nahi jnanena sadrasham pavitram iha vidyate. Even the great devotee, Tulasidas, he says, Bhakti ko jnana bhushan. For bhakti, we say bhakti doesn't require knowledge. No. Tulasidas says, bhakti requires, in the background of jnana, only bhakti can shine. Swami Vivekananda says, do you want to ask questions about karma yoga? Go to jnana yoga. I am not telling Swami Vivekananda. The explanation and the rationale of karma yoga is to be found in jnana yoga, Swamiji says. Why? Because knowledge is so very important. If we start asking questions, you will see slowly our questions are answered. That is the thing. Instead, what we do is, we ask a question to Swami Vedanandaji, same question you will ask Tattvamayanandaji, then you compare. Tattvamayanandaji told like that, but Vedanandaji told like this. How can it be possible? We never go into the real point, we will not go. We will neither take what Vedanandaji told, nor take what Tattvamayanandaji told. We will be fighting him. But he should not have told like that.
How can it be possible? In that scripture it is like this. Viveka Chudamani tells like that. Chinmayanandaji told like this. We bring in all these things and we always superficially we try to float. That is what we do. So questions must be asked within. Pariprashnena sevaya. Seva and pariprashna. Pariprashna is asking oneself is very, very important and essential. Sometimes it may sound too much philosophizing. No, I don't do it. It is the truth of spiritual life. You want a real and vibrant spiritual life, ask questions. Don't go blindfolded. That is why Swami Vivekananda told, each one of us should have a separate religion. Nobody should go into other. Others, always I have seen, when two Swamis tell two answers, we immediately compare. Because we ask the same question, how to control the mind. This question is asked to Sri Ramakrishna, Mother, all the direct disciples, later saints, Prabuddhanandaji, Tattvamayanandaji, where all it is asked. But still we go on asking the question. We never ask myself, within me, I never ask, what is meant by controlling the mind? That's it. Any other question?
I'm asking questions generated this discussion.
No, you can ask there is nothing wrong. Shall we close?
Officially, you have another 9 minutes and 3 seconds.
I have a question for you. Doesn't one have to prepare their inner self and wisdom to ask a question of yourself to get the right answer?
It's about the jnana, yoga. What you are telling is a kind of vicious circle.
Yeah.
Try to ask. Then if it is a wrong question, that itself will come back to us. Somewhere to start.
Yes.
Oh, I have not noticed you are here. So I have not noticed so far that you are here.
It's everywhere.
Now, the point is, somewhere we have to start. What do I mean by, again, starting point? Which will really give me a kind of satisfaction. Yes, really something I have done. That kind of a satisfaction should be there. We meditate, that's all. Do I really get a satisfaction? Whether it is question or path or anything, when we do, it should give us a kind of at least a shake. You have done something wrong. That's what Swamiji says. You go and tell some lies because you will get some beating, then that is a kind of this thing. So, something should happen. Otherwise, the mind will... That is where the significance of St. Augustine's saying. And in the same... In the similar way, it will... He will further elaborate towards the end. Almost towards the end, I think he says, when you find your spiritual life is going... In the initial stages... When you find your spiritual life is going so smoothly, you are able to meditate, you are able to go into the shrine, you are able to do this, do that, then be sure underneath something great calamity is going on. When you find your spiritual life is utter confusion and troubles and things like that, be sure that your inner mind is getting shaken up, it is getting cultured. It's a very significant statement of St. Augustine in the Confessions towards the end or somewhere he will tell. So that is what is a kind of waking up. Uttishtata, that is why Shankara in his Katopanishad commentary, Uttishtata Jagrata, two words are used. Jagrata means waking up, Uttishtata means waking up. Why at all? Twice this is used. Then two beautiful interpretations of Shankara gives. One is kind of shaking ourselves up. And then it is really, we turn towards that ideal. First is turning towards the ideal until we shake ourselves up. It is not possible. It may tend, yes, I am a spiritual seeker. I have taken this, I have some mantra is given, I am doing everything. No, there must be a shaken. That is what, especially with Christian background, you will be able to understand the word conversion. In Indian context, that it is an entirely different context it is used. But what we in Christian literature call as conversion is very important, because until that happens, he cannot really take up spiritual life. You must have studied, right? That is a kind of conversion, means it's a kind of one pipe is, water pipe is going like this, then it is going, the water is going in this direction. Then you cut it, put a coupling and turn its direction towards westward. Then once you put a coupling, then never again it will go. Conversion is something like that. One shaking is required, then alone. So in the some saints' life, some kind of blow, some kind of so many things can happen. But in our life, we need not expect for a blow. It can happen in a very mild and very smooth and gradual way it can happen. But that has to happen if something really we have to attain spiritual life, in spiritual life. That's all I'm trying to tell.
The second example of slow and gradual, then it may be hard to perceive that suddenness of the change because it is so gradual.
Any change you will be able to perceive. If you are not able to perceive, there is no change that's happened. So people coming and telling, yesterday I had a kind of vision. Is it right or wrong? If the question comes, it is wrong. Because truth always comes with a certitude. You need not go and ask. Sun need not ask. You please take a lamp and see whether I am there or not. No. It is there. It shines. No one else is required. Always a spiritual experience comes with the certitude. If you are in a position to go to someone else and narrate it and ask explanation for it, then you can take it for granted. It is not a spiritual experience. That's all the thing. Maharaj just once again looked into the watch. Now how many minutes? Now it's over, I think.
It's up to you, Swamiji, it's up to you.
No, I am, even before 30 minutes, I am done. If any question is there, we can answer, otherwise we can close. Shall we close? That would be nice. If any question is there, you can ask later also. There is. I'm going to be here the whole day. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Tat Sat. Sri Ramakrishna Arpanamastu. We will chant all of us together Om 3 times and then Om.